Welcome, movie fans. Today we're dissecting another animated movie called The Boss Baby. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Anatomy of a Movie.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back and we're talking The Boss Baby with Alec Baldwin, Steve Buscemi, and a few others. But first, why don't we introduce our cast? We have Marissa Serafini.
Hello, everyone.
And you might have seen her every now and then. It's Becca Brown.
Hi!
And I'm Phil Svitek. And for those of you joining us for the very first time, understand that this movie will be spoiler-filled. And also, if you want to follow along with us, you can download our rundown on in the description. Just click the link and you can download it. It's also got our pictures, so that way if you're just listening to the audio version, you can get the pictures just the same. And as we always do, let's start with overall impressions, starting with sort of our guest host, Becca Brown.
I'm going to keep it concise. It had like everything I needed in a movie. Well, and in like an animated movie. Had cute babies and cute animated dogs, and it had really good music. And I mean, I saw it yesterday and really enjoyed it.
All right. That was quick.
Marissa. Yeah, it was. I saw the trailer a few times for this film, and, you know, I'm a big fan of Alec Baldwin and everything he does. So, like, automatically just watching the trailer, I was laughing. I was like, oh, I'll definitely see this film. And, you know, DreamWorks is pumping out a lot of good movies lately that, like, I've actually thoroughly enjoyed. So, like, and I'll give it to them. This was a solid film because I laughed a lot. Yes, it had babies, but also what I took out of the film was like the meaning of family, not like how you started, but how you end up, and like that, like I really, you know, that really hit something with me, and I enjoyed it. And overall, like, I got laughs, and I think if you're an adult, you can enjoy this. If you're a kid, you can enjoy this.
It's feel good.
Yeah, I think this movie, for whatever reason, obviously ended up being number one at the box office and finally took down Beauty and the Beast. However, it doesn't have that high of a score on Rotten Tomatoes overall. And I wonder why. I think this movie is clever enough. I think it's, you know, invented something kind of cool. It stays within that imagination, and you know what's fun about it is that it completes the cycle in the sense that now he's sort of passing this on to his kid as a means. Mm-hmm. And so we never really leave, we never get out of that reality too much, which is the fun part, even though we get those quick glimpses of like, oh, he has an overactive imagination.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Which is so good. And you know what, they explained all those things quite funny, and it's enjoyable. Kind of the origin story of the ultimate boss. Through the eyes of Tim Templeton.
Yeah, I liked how the narrative for this film was through the kids' perspective. And I feel with a lot of kids, you get the kids' perspective, but it was from the older siblings' perspective of how they see the world of the parents, and having a baby come into the family, like their initial thoughts of what that would do and change the dynamic within the story. I liked that.
I feel like the life lesson was more, like, the life lesson by the end of the movie was more meaningful because of that narration from the older kid.
Absolutely, and you know, I love the fact that it brought them together, and it's the first movie that I've ever seen that's made memos fun.
Right.
Memos could change the world.
They can.
They did, in this movie, certainly.
It changed his world, for sure. It saved his world, really.
Absolutely. All right. Marissa, you want to kick us off with the beginning, the development of all of this?
Yes. So DreamWorks, I mean, they've been really great. They acquired, they usually acquire interesting books, and this was one of them. Marla Frazee, the original writer of the book, The Boss Baby. We had the director, Tom McGrath. He was in talks with DreamWorks about this, and they gave him this book. And he immediately resonated with him because he comes from a family like that. He is an older sibling, and it's something that related to him. And then also the producer of this movie, Ramsey and Nato, she also is a sibling, and she understood the family aspect. And so it resonated both with the creator and the director, and they were just so on board with this the concept of this family.
Yeah, no, I like her quote. She wrote, Tom sent me the script about 3.5 years ago. My connection through was being a mother. I have children, and my first son was 7, just like Tom Templeton. When my second son arrived, he was really jealous. So, yeah. So, obviously, a lot of connection there. This is sort of maybe for a little bit later, but one of the things I do like in terms of dream work, how much they believed in it, was that they were willing to push back the release date from 2016 to now. Because one of the things I certainly enjoyed was that, you know, we go throughout the house, but yet no one scene is ever the same. You know, the room mm-hmm. always changes. Mm-hmm, right. The hallway is a huge example of that. And it just depends on the sort of mood Tim Templeton is, because that's the way he perceives the world and whatnot. And so his room could be a jail cell or it could be a happy place.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, and we'll definitely get into the animation, but that's what I also enjoyed about this film, was the different types of animation that was in it. And I wasn't expecting it, because we're having so many just kids' films now that, like, you only see animation and that's it. We're getting away from, like, the 2D hand-drawn animation style that I really miss. But even Kung Fu Panda, which is also another DreamWorks film, like, they did really well in the 2D animation. There's a lot of sequences like that. Also with Madagascar, also DreamWorks, you know. I think DreamWorks does a great job of still having the 2D animation style mm-hmm. aspect. And they, I think, they easily incorporated it within this film.
Mm-hmm. And I think they did a good job with the kids' imagination scenes, because it brought magic to the film, which I love. And it didn't go too over the top, because I feel like that's how kids actually think. That's how a kid's mind works.
Yeah. And it set up the rules very nicely. The whatever you call it, a Tootsie, you call it a sucker, whatever. Right? The thing that makes him remember.
Oh, the pacifier.
Yeah,
that's it.
The pacifier.
I'm like, wait,
he went through all the things that it could be named. He didn't name a pacifier, because mm-hmm. a baby's not going to know what the hell a pacifier
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
But so I like that, and I love the simple premise of, like, hey, love's being taken away by yeah. puppies.
Because that's also true.
Like, yeah!
Or, like, your attention, like that same type of love that you give towards a newborn baby can also be the same type of love that you give to a newborn puppy.
Yeah, because
it comes from
cute.
The same place.
It does.
It's the cuteness effect.
But I'll give you a secret about love. Love is the one thing that defies physics. You can multiply it.
Oh, hey-o.
It's deep.
Oh, my God, that is.
There you go. So, if only the babies knew that.
And they didn't.
They didn't. So, absolutely, very, very simple premise overall, and whatnot. And who? It just kind of, I, you know, to be honest, when I saw the trailers, I didn't quite know how this was going to work out and how it was going to be sort of grounded in reality. And they had the best answer ever: don't ground it in reality whatsoever.
Oh no!
Just from the poster, I was thinking that, like, just from, like, seeing posters on, like, Hollywood Boulevard and stuff, I'm like, how is that movie gonna work? Like, are people actually gonna go see it? Is it gonna be good? Is it gonna be funny? Is it gonna do what it's supposed to? But I thought it was good.
It did. People gave it a shot, and yeah. you know what? It succeeded.
I'm glad it gave it a shot.
All right. Let's talk about the brotherhood. Well, let's talk about the story structure. I mean, it's an age-old story structure where you sort of start in the middle. Or you start sort of towards the end and you kind of work your way backwards, meaning Tim's retelling the story. Now, at first, we don't know that it's his child, it's his girl.
Yeah.
But he's recounting the story, and we get that sort of, it's a, the Odyssey does that, right?
Yeah.
Dating back to that sort of technique. Okay. And I like the one gripe I will say I had kind of with it, and I want to get your guys' perspective. Alec Baldwin, his voice stays throughout the movie, even as he gets older in that latter half, whereas Tim changes voices, and I was like, I don't think we should change voices.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stick with what I said before, that I think they were just trying to bring Tobey Maguire into the movie somehow because he's a well-known name. And it just draws people, more people, even though they already have well-known names. It just draws people even more.
You know, it's interesting. That really honestly didn't bother me as much because I like the fact that we actually had a child actor voicing a child. Mm-hmm. Because if you tried to get Tobey Maguire doing all the imagination scenes and pretending, and I don't think it would translate as well to have that fun childlike innocence that what the actual child actor could bring to an actual child. Mm. I mean, we even had when we'll get into it, but like Alec Baldwin, when his character was, you know, finally starting to like play along with imaginations, it still felt like an adult, but like accepting what was happening. I don't think that would have worked well if Toby was trying to show us all the imaginations within his voice.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I could picture him voicing a kid well, but not to the extent of the whole showing the imagination happening.
Yeah, I guess in discussion of it, it does work because, you know, Boss Baby is always an adult. And so he kind of does stay the same. He's like an adult that regains his imagination, and all that stuff. Whereas, you know, Tim kind of does have to grow up a little bit. And so that's... So I guess you're correct in having discussed it.
They meet in the middle.
What do you guys think of all the tropes? You know, just having... Like, just the fact that the parents work for Puppy Co., and we're successful, and like the secret mission is, okay, we're gonna infiltrate, we're gonna tire them out, so that way we can gain information about Puppy Co. and the new puppy.
I had mixed feelings about Puppy Co. Like, at the beginning, I was like, oh, puppies, yay. And then my actual reaction, puppies, yay. And then, like, we were talking about this earlier, like Puppy Co. is villainous place, kind of, so to speak.
It was funny because, you know, we saw Puppy Co. and all I could think of was like, wow, does, you know, PetSmart go through this in real life?
Yeah.
You know, do they always have to like work their marketing campaigns to make sure that they don't go out of company? I it was funny how they set that up as the villain, but even though like it wasn't like out of maliciousness, it was just, you know, this baby corp was viewing Puppy Co. as the villain. So we're like, they're not really doing something mean, they're just doing a business, they're running a business.
Yeah.
They're doing their job, honestly. Even if it's putting your business out, then that's really on you, that's not on Puppy Co.
Well, there lies that. I don't think, you know, what we learn at the end of the movie is that Puppy Co. is not necessarily evil. It's Francis.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's not doing it for that. He literally is trying to basically take revenge against Baby Corp because of what he went through.
I think the twist was interesting because I didn't see it coming that he looked up to Francis and...
What was his name again? The big fat baby, amazing, gluttonous boss baby.
I should have written it.
I'll look it up, but I thought that twist was really good because I didn't predict it, that he was like looking up to him and then he turns out to be all evil and malicious and stuff like that.
We should have known though, because like usually when you get that twist of a villain at the end, it's usually because of, oh, we were already introduced to this person, so we should have known. I thought that the setup was brilliant because he made it out to be his idol, something that he wanted to work to for. And yeah, with the whole twist of the villain at the end, again, it put the twist on Baby Corp. You know, that company was actually the one who did all the wrongdoing, and not Puppy Co.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly. you know, it just makes you wonder. Sometimes babies shouldn't be running businesses.
Yeah, it's probably good advice. That's probably why they don't run businesses.
Hey, you don't know that. Baby Corp exists.
It does?
You don't know.
Where?
Like, well, not really. life. I mean, honestly, but you can think about it. There have been like people in real life, like you could technically be a king of a country while you're a baby, and you know, like, but you can't have them run the country because they just don't have the intelligence level to run a country.
I've watched something like that actually, but different country.
But like you know what I mean? It's like you can have power being a baby or being someone small, but that doesn't mean you should necessarily run it or you're in the best position to do it. You know,
In history terms, more like depending on who your ancestors are. I feel like.
And again, you know, one of the things I did like was the pacing of this movie, because it introduced things at the right time. So even with like Baby Core, you didn't quite know what it was. They withheld that information because you're sort of watching him go through this, and you know he's nervous about just the tickle test, and you're like, okay, he's not gonna go there with the family. So what's the alternative?
The eyes were so sad, like, while he was watching everyone else.
I laughed the hardest when it said management. It just, like, established the fact, like, because you're emotionless and like, you can't allow yourself to be happy, you go into management.
Yeah.
I thought that was a sad but funny realization.
It is, you know, and I love the tit for tat later with between him and Tim of like, oh, my dad says people who can't do manage.
Yeah, exactly.
And the baby's like, nope.
I think they were poking fun at like just being in a managerial position.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't think that's necessarily true.
It is what you make it out to be.
Yeah, honestly. That.
Oh, 100%. That's why, you know. But I just love the comedy of all the sort of big business management type stuff of like, I got, you know, are you going to do anything? Yeah, I'm going to write a memo. But aren't you going to do anything? No, well, a memo is doing something.
Makes you feel better.
So yeah, I just loved all the parodies of like the corporate world from a baby's perspective.
Definitely, you know. And I was thinking while watching it, I was like, okay, if you're in family, is it only just these two options? What like is there like a happy middle? If it's not family, if it's not management, what's another thing that it could go in? It was another category it could be under.
Work in an amusement park. No.
Social services, who knows?
Social
like customer service. Something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, there should be like a happy medium. That would have been interesting.
Maybe on the next one.
The next one.
Maybe when the
kid. Is there going to be a second one?
I don't know. Maybe it's from the girl's perspective.
Oh,
maybe.
My daddy said this, but I don't see that. And that's my girl voice.
Yeah. I think it was really good.
Interesting how they tried to skirt around the idea of where do babies come from. Mm-hmm. And then they show us literally a whole production line or like a factory assembly line of this is where babies come from. Like, okay, this is how they're going to establish.
Well, and then at one point he whispers to the baby. He's like, this is what my parents told me.
Right.
And I'm like, oh dear.
Well, it's good because, you know, I mean, I think it's a great kind of explanation to little kids who are there with their parents. And of course, Becca was very eager to find out, but she'll have to wait another day.
Today is not that day.
Where was I going to next with that? One of the things you had pulled this, Marissa, that I found interesting was how Alec Baldwin sort of fell in love with this, and they combined Megamind with lines from 30 Rock, and Alec saw that, and that's what kind of got him on board for the concept.
Yeah, and you know, and I loved both. 30 Rock is a great show. That's, you know, why I love Alec Baldwin. But Megamind was such an underrated animated film that I think more people should have saw it and more people should have appreciated it because that was an actually good film. Talking about anti-hero, I mean, that movie had a twist in itself that worked out for the better for them. And like blending those two, yeah, I was totally on board with Boss Baby. And just the fact that, just the ironic fact that you have an adult baby that acts like an adult but is stuck in a baby, you know, body just that fact alone is funny. You should want to watch that just to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. I mean, they had everything, even down to getting your quote-unquote coffee, which was their bottle, and all that stuff. Yeah. They really, really did nail it. Let's talk about Tim, because obviously he's the protagonist of all of this. I think the nice part is he changes... you know, it's a brother movie, but in the same, like, it has the same tropes of a buddy comedy movie where ultimately they all have to come together and work together. So both, in this case, change equally.
Yeah.
Which is nice to see. And but let's talk about Tim. What was your favorite part, your most, the thing that you gravitated towards most?
I liked that I could see, like, probably me in it. As a child, except I loved my little sisters. When my mom told me my little sisters were coming, I bought dolls to, like, pretend that they were my little sisters.
Were you as jealous as Tim was?
I was never jealous. I was so excited. But
were you ever disappointed later in life? If you're like, I had so much high hopes for you, but look at you now.
I mean, sibling rivalries and stuff happen, so I think that aspect of the movie, it's like every sibling has moments where they're like, I want to be the only kid in the house type thing. And
well, Marissa, you're no stranger to siblings.
I know. And I'm like, but I'm not the oldest sibling.
Are you the youngest?
I am the baby of my family. So, like, I don't really understand, like, the jealousy of the adult sibling. I find it relatable, though, within a family. It's like, how do you equally disperse love throughout to all your children?
Yeah.
I thought that was relatable. But, you know, Miles Bakshi, who voiced him, I thought he did a great job, because even the character of Tim, yeah, he is the protagonist of the film, and we're following a child throughout. He was more precocious than a 7-year-old kid at that age. Hmm. And that's, I thought it was easy to follow him, because not once did I felt that I was, you know, incumbent to a child's innocence, you know, intelligence range, or like, oh, you can only go so far until the joke is over, because adults would understand that's not how it goes. Not once did I felt limited by child's innocence, you know. And his imaginations were fun, and I thought it was true to what a kid is. Yeah, it's going to be erratic and all over the place, but I thought it was a fun, likable kid to follow throughout a whole film.
I think the imagination scenes were something that adults could also enjoy, where it's like, in like some children's program, it's like, that looks ridiculous. It's like, it looked ridiculous, but at the same time, it's like, oh, so that's what my little cousin or my kid is thinking in their head. I also watched a video where at the beginning, when he was running down the stairs, his shirt changed from 1 to 2. It had the number 1 on it, but then when Boss Baby arrived, it had the number 2 on it.
I see.
I found that interesting.
Interesting.
I missed that.
Yeah, I was not.
I missed that in the movie, but I watched a video and they said that fact, and I was like, "That's interesting."
absolutely, you know, and like I said, I just can't commend it enough on all the tropes that it uses. The fact that like play dates turn into meetings,
hysterical.
I did feel for the, I don't know, I don't want to call him this, but the stupid baby.
It was so, yes.
He was so sweet. He just wanted to help.
He was just the big lovable baby that you can't help but just love.
Yeah, he wasn't fully developed in the brain quite yet.
Not yet. I feel like none of the other little sidekicks were, but,
I like the sidekick babies, though. They were
fun.
Yeah,
I liked them.
They added so much more to the film than I was actually expecting them to be. I mean, we had a whole chase sequence with them. I'm like, what are these babies? I mean, they were pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, I feel like the little girl reminded me of, like, one of the characters on Charlie Brown, to be honest. The which girl one? Sidekick.
Oh, okay. Which one? Which Charlie Brown character?
It's terrible. Oh, lost the name.
You can't bring that up if you don't know. I like that the triplets girl. Were funny.
The triplets were funny. It's like, and the you're little think like for onesies. Yourself?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
You can't tell us what to say.
They're the Three Musketeers. Child form, yeah.
That was great, and yeah, they were all, and it made sense. They were all sort of employees of Puppy Coast. So if you have, which by the way, they created such an elaborate daycare, if you will.
Oh, they do.
And all for evil purposes, to lure all the kids to see who they can catch.
Well, when you have all the money in the world, I guess you can.
Perhaps, yeah. Okay, the parents. Let's talk about the parents. Lisa Kudrow and Jimmy Kimmel. I thought they did a wonderful job.
Perfect.
They were just the right amount of, like, real mm-hmm. in this crazy, chaotic world that we needed. At the same time, just lovable, not knowing what's really going on.
I think the dad being voiced by Jimmy Kimmel and me having, like, watched videos he posts of, like, his daughter helped me with, like, the whole him being in a family aspect thing in this movie. Mm-hmm. So I liked him voicing the dad.
Yeah.
And I liked Lisa.
I really liked him. I'm a big fan of Lisa Kudrow. I mean, hello, friends.
Yes.
She's great. And I actually watched an interview with Lisa before I watched this film. And she pointed out a fun fact that Lisa Kudrow and Alec Baldwin actually played boyfriend and girlfriend in Friends. And now, just, you know, talking about the industry and how it just kind of comes full circle now that she's voicing the voice of the mother of Alec Baldwin. It's just, you know, funny how the industry works.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I think there was humor. They felt like realistic parents. And the fact mm-hmm. that they were so easy to kind of manipulate from the baby, but again, not in a malicious way. This, like, yeah, we have a new child. And the way that they twisted, you know, having a newborn baby, the different situations, like, oh, he needs his water bottle or his, you know, his yeah. milk bottle. All these situations that typically what parents go through.
The exhaustion.
Yeah.
I like how the sped up scene where, like, everything's, like, sped up and then they're, like, all of a sudden asleep. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's probably a thing. That happens.
Oh, 100%.
I'm like, my poor parents.
You're probably the worst, Becca.
I bet you gave your parents hell.
I was like, I want a pony every day.
And I even loved it. Just had so many layers of humor. I even enjoyed the, we have to talk about that B-A-B-E-E. Why? Because he's taking over! So I enjoyed, like, they never let a joke
yeah.
go unexplored, if you will. They always kind of were like, can we punch this up a little bit? And they were able to do that. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed all aspects of that. Might as well just kind of stamp it home, but what was your favorite fantasy sequence? Or even set piece? Should we go to Marissa?
Go to Marissa.
Okay. I loved all the different anime imaginations because not one was similar to each other.
Yeah.
They all had different looks. One that I thought was sometimes simplicity goes a long way. And simple is better. The ninja, when he's in the hallway and trying to, like, figure out what the noise is, that was 2D animation. That was hand-drawn. Now, like, I missed that style. Plus, it was simple to look at because it was, like, black and red. But it was still visually intriguing, going with the narrative. I liked it. It was simple, and even like the pirates scene at the end. And I like that because colorful wise, oh my goodness, it was fun to watch.
Yeah.
But also just storytelling wise, that's when, you know, they were truly finally coming together and bonding, and it built that relationship to move the story forward. That I felt the pirates' bonding scene had, you know, more impact than all the other imaginations.
I was going to say the pirate scene at the end and the beginning scene because it, like, set up the whole story and, like, his imagination and what we're going to be seeing throughout the film. But I like the pirate scene at the end because it's where they, like, defeated him. They defeated the bad guy and they won. And my heart, I was already feeling like a lot of feelings by that point in the movie because it was so emotional. I'm like, oh, they've bonded. It's so sweet. And that's how Becca views the movie.
I enjoyed the part where he's like, I'm going to be there for Christmas. I'm going to be there for this. I'm going to be there for that. Because in that moment, it's a very threatening thing, but they were able to repurpose that, obviously, towards the end of the movie, and Tim's saying it to Boss Baby, and he's saying it as a almost like a promise of, hey, we'll always be together. So the fact that they were able to repurpose that line in a different way, I thought was very clever and a good technique.
Yeah, I liked it. It made it more meaningful, definitely, the second time around, because the first time it was like a threat, and the second time is a promise as a brother, as a family member, that you're going to be there for a different reason.
Yeah, 100%. Also, I love the cookies are for closers, because it's from Alec Baldwin's coffee is for closers line.
Yes.
I love that.
All right.
That was a funny line.
I liked...
Put the cookie down.
I liked the whole when they were on their way to the airport scene, and I liked it even more after I watched a video, like, an hour. I was watching this, like, fun facts video, and the video said that the neighborhood that they were going through was, like, modeled after E.T. and the bike ride in E.T. So,
I really enjoyed that scene now. I really enjoyed
the
chase scene, because you got all the babies, and I'm just thinking, where are the parents?
Yeah.
You know? Like, and if there were any witnesses watching babies go down the street, you know? It's like, the unrealistic nature of the scene is funny. Just watch.
It was cool
because it was nicely blended again into the animation, and it helped with Tim overcome his fear of, you know, taking out the training wheels. And again, this was another bonding scene that I enjoyed.
And another thing that every kid goes through, the training wheels. And it's like a big step in the movie, because like training wheels, it's growth. Having training wheels on your bike.
Absolutely. Especially for that, because like, that was a point of contention by Boss Baby. He's like, oh, you need training wheels. Timothy, Leslie Templeton.
Leslie. And every time they said Leslie, everyone laughed.
Every time they said Templeton, though, I thought of a rat. That's Charlotte's mind.
Oh, right.
Becca.
Again, showing your age.
Hey, listen, Charlotte's Web's a good...
It's a good movie.
It is, actually.
You know, it's a
feel
book.
Good, heartful.
And a book.
Okay, because I've read the book. I've probably not seen the movie, I don't think.
I've seen the animation and the live for Charlotte's Web.
Me too.
And read the book.
All right. So Tom McGrath directed it. He's also done Megamind, a movie which you advocated for, and he's done the Madagascar movies so far. So he's no stranger to the animation game by any means.
I feel like I haven't seen a DreamWorks movie in a long time, like a DreamWorks animated movie, and I was impressed. Like,
have you seen Kung Fu Panda?
I have not.
Okay.
I'm sorry. But honesty. I haven't watched a DreamWorks animation film in a long time, because I'm a Disney person, not gonna lie. So if something has Disney before it, I'm like, oh, Disney, gotta go see that.
Right.
But they were up to Disney's level.
Is that the standard?
It might be.
I think Tom did a great job of balancing, you know, the animation. We definitely got the storytelling across, but you know, the moral lessons within the book, something, I mean, it started from a kid's book, so I think he did a great job of fleshing it out and having it, you know, relate to the adults and to the child perspective. And yeah, we know he knows animation, he knows that world, it's not new to him. I think there was a nice balance. The pacing was incredibly fast. At the end of this film, I was like, oh, it's over. Because I don't think there was like one scene that lasted more than 2 minutes. So, and you gotta remember, this is geared towards the younger
kids.
Demographic, where ADD is not, you know, like attention isn't as long as it should be.
Which
and I never lost my attention.
I saw the ADD-ness with the baby in my theater in the front row.
Yeah.
The whole time, the baby's like in front of me, crossing, waving at me in my theater. Yeah.
My theater was actually pretty good. The kids were all right.
Supervised
it, but I mean, even so, like they, you know, even if they have supervision, they can act out.
Yeah, that's true.
Didn't act out, so that was a bonus for my screening. You know, one of the things that we've sort of touched upon, but the idea that you know, we've talked about the number of jokes that it has, how great it is, but it's also fantastic to hear, like, you know, going back to the point of ADD, they were very specific with the scenes that they kept, and they trimmed it down to what they needed to, because if you're that young and that's your core audience, they're not gonna have a big attention span, so they don't want a 2-hour movie. Mm-hmm. This was a very fast paced movie, and so let's call it brevity.
Fast paced, yeah, and enjoyable.
Absolutely.
I think there was just a nice balance, because it was a short film, but they managed to fit so many different mm-hmm. aspects into this film. You had a villain, you had a family member, you had a twist, you had a chase scene. You also had moments where it was slow and you let it breathe, especially after when the plane goes off and he's just sitting there in the airport terminals. Like, it had its moments to be calm. That I think it was a good balance of a lot of different types of moments.
And I feel like they could have, like, easily added, like, 5 or more montage scenes throughout, but they didn't, and they had, like, only, like, 2 scenes that were, like, sped up, really, I think, throughout the movie.
Well, at that point, yeah, it was, like, basically 2 days until Puppy Con mm-hmm. at the convention center.
Where do you live? The convention center?
Hey, good for the bachelorettes. Something that I didn't realize about Hans Zimmer, but he does a lot of animated movies.
Yeah, he does.
Which explains, like, why the music was good.
It certainly was, but, you know, when I think of Hans Zimmer, I don't always think of him as kids, but I think of him, like, over the top. Yeah. Inception. Boom.
Epic swell. Boom.
You know, not necessarily a
boss.
That's true. But a job well done overall.
Yeah, I mean, like, I definitely noticed it during the car chase. Mm-hmm. Not the car chase. Just the chase in the street. The baby chase, more, if you want to call it that. I recognized it in that, because it's a lot is happening, and you're switching back and forth. Plus, that is the nice blend into an imagination, which you had the overswell of literally an ocean when we saw that. So we got the crescendo of his music during that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah, and it was him and Steve Mazzaro. They collaborated on this together. As we pointed out, and I think you, Becca, in particular, at the beginning. And this isn't necessarily the score, but just the combination of the score along with the music that's there that they were mm-hmm. able to pull. A very fantastic job in general, I thought, with the music.
And it's not just the orchestra, but there was actually, you know, a song that had meaning in this movie, you know, with the Blackbird. Mm-hmm. That's a great iconic song, and the fact that they used it in different ways, and talking about repurposing, like, that was a personal song that his parents sang to Tim to calm him down, and then even at the
full
end,
circle.
Yeah, he was doing it to calm down the boss baby, and like it had more meaning.
Yeah,
yeah, and it was that great joke from the baby to Tim of, like, are your parents the Beatles? No, you don't even know our parents' names,
right?
He actually said John, and
yeah, that's what he said. He was like, no.
So I rather enjoyed that. Anything else production wise that you guys want to discuss before we move on to the reception and box office?
Well, a little bit about the production and animation. We were talking about the different styles of all the imaginations, but they actually wanted to use the, you know, the 40s, 50s, and 60s styles for all the different abstract, colorful themes of each imagination that Tim goes through. And then, of course, there's a lot of, like, references that people wouldn't get, or you could call them Easter eggs, but you had Moby Dick, had Evil Knievel. There was just you also had E.T. There's a lot of kid references, but those stories are all like coming of age stories.
And was the umbrella thing like actually meant to be a Mary Poppins thing, because it's DreamWorks, not Disney, so I was kind of confused on that one.
I mean, you also had Gandalf, which that wizard was hysterical.
Yeah, and that's Warner Brothers.
Yeah, that's Warner Brothers.
I'm a wizard. I don't even know. We don't even have clocks.
Halflings.
It's 7 o'clock.
Pass.
I liked the whole intro scene with the babies.
That was
pretty cute.
The assembly line.
Assembly line.
That was adorable, and the song.
Yeah, that was good with the pacifier. He's like, no, you shall not go in there. That's for sure.
No.
That would hurt.
The pacifier was a fun tool that they used also to help transport them to Baby Core. I'm like, oh, interesting.
That was quite funny. And then when the dad opens the door and he's like, what the heck?
Bonding moment.
Bonding moment.
Yeah.
Sweet bonding moment.
Yeah, I don't need to be a part of this. I'm gonna let you guys do your thing. You know, maybe by the time you're 10, if you're still doing this, we might be a little bit worried.
I mean, my sister didn't give up her. Still, she was like 6. She's gonna hate me.
All right. Well, we'll backtrack towards box office, but first, in terms of the reception, A- for cinema score. So very good score. However, the Rotten Tomatoes, only a 50. I mean, come on, really?
I wonder why it's so low.
What? I don't get it. Like,
is it like just Alec Baldwin's performance?
I was going to say, I feel like it's just Alec Baldwin's
name. Yes, he is a very dominating character, and like,
but Alec, he's no Kevin Hart.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's like, oh, don't even get me started on Kevin Hart. Trust me, that's a whole nother rant in and of its own. But I think Alec Baldwin does a great job because he is a strong lead character. He is a strong actor who can actually lead a movie. I mean, if you take Tim out, this movie's freaking called The Boss Baby. It is about the baby. But I thought Tim was equally as strong as Boss Baby.
I mean, I think starting to think there's like certain actors who just can't win on Rotten Tomatoes, like movies that they're in can't win, and maybe Alec Baldwin's one of them.
I don't know. Influx gave it a C+, and they write The Boss Baby is the middle of the road, mostly done, one note joke movie that remains focused on imaginative qualities. Its little premise doesn't always inspire on the surface. And I disagree with I don't think it has to go beyond that, but the beyond part of it is literal brotherhood and what that means and how, you know, both can learn from each other and grow together. And what else? It's beautifully done. What else do you need beyond that? Did you have a shitty childhood?
Exactly. I was like, sounds like someone who's just bitter.
Yeah, I maybe the critics are viewing it from the minds of, like, too much from the mind of an adult and not enough from the mind of a child. And that's a problem?
I viewed it as an adult, and I still had fun with it.
I mean, I viewed it as like,
questionable.
Who I am. Yeah. You're in the middle of adult and child.
I would say Marissa's an adult, and she enjoyed it, so.
I enjoyed it, and I don't want to get, like, too into it, but I heard that the, people who are adopted might have a more bigger issue with this because where do babies come from and like how are integrated into families, they might have
an
issue how this movie showed that. And you know what? And I will say this, like, I personally am adopted and I didn't see any problem with this. I think people just need to get the stick out of
that. That was their intent.
Get over it.
Like that.
Yeah. I don't want to get too into it, but I didn't see that as an issue at all because they had the funny references of what actually happens. You know, you can infer it's like this is just their storytelling of where the baby came from and why he's so different from a regular family.
From the perspective of Tim.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, at the end of the day too, I mean, it's no different. How many times have we seen storks? Like, there's a freaking movie called Storks.
I love Storks. And that was a great film.
You know, I mean, how many theories are there from kids about where do babies come from? So, like, you know, come on. Get over it.
And in fairness, Storks, babies came from a letter, all right? A piece of paper. That's where the babies were manufactured from. And, like, that was a great film. Go, you know, go watch that film, too. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it.
I just think our world needs to take things less seriously sometimes.
Yeah, I was like, this is the world of this is how, in their version, this is where the babies come from, so we can understand where the...
Yeah.
Becca, you need to write a memo.
Take things less serious?
Yeah, just send a memo.
Have fun in life.
Well, at the very least, people did have fun with the movie. Number one at the box office. Opened up with $50 million, give or take, just slightly above that. So that's a great number.
Yeah, especially for an animated film too. That's huge.
That is huge.
And especially that it topped Beauty and the Beast thing.
Yeah, Beauty and the Beast was going strong for quite a number of weeks.
Yeah. I mean, like, DreamWorks does, you know, they do pump out great kid content, and you know, like, adults can enjoy it too, but they have strong animated films.
Yeah.
And yeah, Beauty and the Beast has, you know, been in the theaters for a while now, but that's not to say that this film was a terrible film. This was actually a very enjoyable film.
Absolutely. Yeah. It 53% females versus 47% males. And 62% of the audience being under the age of 25. Hey, that's Becca.
Hey!
That's not me.
That is Becca. That's only Becca.
By one year.
So, absolutely. You know, and I think this movie will have legs. I think people, whatever hesitancy there was, I think people will start to be like, oh, you know what? It's actually a good movie. I think word of mouth is going to help propel it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm excited to see it. Go beyond that. I forget. What do we even have this weekend? Nothing's going to compete with this directly.
Gifted comes out this weekend.
No one's going to watch that. Not to say that's a bad movie either. But, yeah, I mean, we have some other films. Not as big as, like, an animated film.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be... I think it'll hold up for a little bit, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of keeping a number one spot, I don't know if it'll be able to keep it. I know next week, the Fate of the Furious is definitely going to take that number one spot. But
yeah. Does that Anne Hathaway? Like, I think Smurfs comes out this weekend, so that's another animated
film. You're right.
That might overtake this film.
And does the Anne Hathaway one come out?
Smurf has been around way longer than the Boss Baby, just like the storyline. That has different generations of a following for that film.
Yeah, so my cousin's a Smurf.
That might give them a boost over this film.
Well, if certainly this movie won't topple it, Going in Style.
Oh, and it's that?
It's for old people.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman, like a bunch of
retired
males.
Okay, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Have fun.
So...
Yeah, I think Smurf is its biggest competition right now.
Yeah, that's true. So we'll see. We'll see how they handle it. Any final thoughts before we wrap this up and send a good old memo?
Overall, like, I think this movie, visually, it was fun to watch. Storytelling, there's a lot of moral lessons to it, and a lot of relatability.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to family. I think people can really get on board with how they showed it. And I think they showed it in a fun, comedic light of families and what it means to actually be a family.
Yeah, go see it and be, like, open to it. Go see it with, like, a light heart. Be prepared to have fun because it's a comedy and it's funny and it's cute. And there's life lessons and morals, especially if you have siblings. And I mean, I kind of got emotional there at the end. I was crying at the end.
I liked how the Boss Baby, you know, went through the process again and changed its outcome.
Yeah. Absolutely. I thought I like I said, I can't praise it enough for its cleverness. Mm-hmm. So kudos to them for that. I enjoyed it a lot, and you know, I would be curious. You know, I could see a sequel that, like, from the perspective of the daughter. It could be fun to kind of see a comparison. And, like, you know, the irony being, like, this isn't what my dad's told me.
I could see them doing a sequel in some way.
Boss babies. I don't know. Make it plural.
Yeah, who knows? Alrighty, well, it's been fun talking about it with you guys. It's a fun movie.
It is.
Thank you guys for joining us. Let us know your thoughts, your opinions. We enjoy reading them. And we'll be back next week with certainly more movies. What are we doing? Out of those three, which two are we doing?
We're probably doing Smurfs.
What?
We might be doing Smurfs.
Oh, my dear Lord.
Phil's excited.
I'll probably be just doing Going Out in Style.
And we'll do Fate of the Furious when that comes out. We do have the worst... on the start of the summer movies.
Yeah,
they're
we are.
Slowly starting to
Guardians of the Galaxy is not too far off.
Yeah.
So that's something to look forward to. I'm sure we've got a ton of animated movies in the summer as well to look forward to. Maybe not necessarily another Zootopia type of movie. That was just so good. But we'll see.
It was really good.
I'm sure there's going to be some great ones. Thank you guys for joining us as always at Serafini TV.
That's right.
At Beck B Talks TV.
There you go. And at the Popcorn Talk, and check out our other movies here. We don't have an animation show directly, but we should get one.
We should. We've talked about Kung Fu Panda. We've talked about Storks. We've talked about all.
That's,
you know,
on Anatomy. On Anatomy. So definitely
anatomy.
Check out past Anatomy shows.
Yeah.
And the Instagram account.
And our Instagram account. Yeah, we are also there. Twitter and Instagram at Movie Anatomy.
All right. Thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you next time on another Anatomy of a Movie. And we feel enough to grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Oh, listen, Lord, if you want to know. Phil Svitek and the rest of the Anatomy of a Movie staff, we would like to thank you for listening and subscribing to the show. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email or tweet us. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been Anatomy of a Movie.